This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Isn't God awesome? I'm kind of excited here. Hallelujah. This is the house of God. This is where he dwells. This is where he hangs out. This is where he loves to be. He is the Lord our God in the midst of us, and he is mighty. He rejoices over us with singing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, where will I start? I'll just go to Isaiah chapter 2. Just get my glasses. Isaiah chapter 2, and just reading from verse 1. This is Isaiah speaking. He has this prophetic word. So the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. Well, we're in the latter days, aren't we? This scripture is also repeated in Micah 4:1 as well. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house, isn't that a strange term? Mountain of the Lord's house. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the tops, on the top of the mountains. Now you've got this mountain on top of mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. I want to talk about this. I've been talking about praise and worship for a few weeks, and how God has, remember I shared from Isaiah, where he's given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness and the oil of joy for mourning. Well, it would appear that the enemy's doing all he can to take that away and not get our attention. I mean, we're in serious times, aren't we? We're in serious times. The devil's going to come down, and he's got great wrath because he knows his time is short. And it says, woe to you inhabitants of the earth. Well, praise God, I'm not an inhabitant of this earth. Are you an inhabitant of this earth? Because the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the devil has come down. He's got great wrath because he knows he's only got a short time. What does Jesus say to us who are not inhabitants of this earth? We're inhabitants of heaven because we have been raised up with Christ, made to sit together with him in the heavenly places, far above all power and principality and every name that is named. We're seated with him in the heavenly places. It says in the book of Hebrews 12 that we haven't come to Mount Sinai. The people that went to Mount Sinai, you know, where God spoke with a trumpet sound and lightnings and darkness came on the mountain, and the people were exceedingly afraid. And if anybody got near to the mountain, they had to put a barricade around it because they were to be thrust through with a spear. And Moses himself, he said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. He says, we haven't come to that mountain. We have come to Mount Zion, to an innumerable company of angels in joyful assembly. We are the church of the firstborn, the church of Christ. He is the firstborn. We are the church of the firstborn, and the firstborn inherits the double blessing. So we're part of that. we inherit that double blessing. So this mountain and this house is spoken about all through Scripture. So we're not an inhabitant of this world. We're an inhabitant of God's world. And we're looking for His kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth just like it is in heaven. So we read Isaiah here. And he prophesies that the mountain of the Lord's house is going to be lifted up above everything else. And even to the point where there's this law going to come forth. People will say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God. He will teach us His ways. All right, I want to tell you that you are the house and you are the mountain. We are Mount Zion. We're the house and we're the mountain. That's us. And I don't know about you, but I get this sense, you know, when God steps into a house, you know, what kind of an atmosphere do you think should fill God's house? If the Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He says, my joy I give to you. My joy. He gives us His joy, presence, His fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. So just imagine, what kind of a people do you think? What is the attitude of the people who dwell in God's house? No wonder the psalmist says, how lovely are your dwelling places. My soul longs for the courts of the Lord. And he cries out and says, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with praise. So what kind of an atmosphere is in the house of God? Joy, love, peace, righteousness. All of those things are in His house. And David, the psalmist, said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than to dwell in all the tents of unrighteousness, of the wicked. You know, they promise so much. Come to our house. We've got everything happening in our house. And what's the end of that? Misery, death, sorrow. But you come to God's house, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable. That's in His house, and we are His house. We're going to just go through Scripture a little bit here. Go to the book of Exodus and chapter 15. Exodus 15. I want you to take this picture from what happened to Israel. They're in Egypt, and God heard their what? When they're in Egypt, you know, the Israelites, they were slaves, weren't they? And God heard their what? Groaning. Yeah, well, if you're in the world, there's going to be a groan. If you're in the house of bondage, there's going to be a groan. And I want to challenge you, what house are you dwelling in? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of unrighteousness, because there's a groan coming out of those tents. There's a groan that's coming out of this world. People, they're saying, all this stuff, you're going to be so happy if you buy this, if you have this, if you do this, if you can achieve this, if you can be this, you're going to be so happy, and all the glitter and all the glitz is with it. But inside there's a groan. There's a groan. They're in the wrong house. And so God says, I've heard the groan, the sighs of my people, and I've come down and I'm going to deliver them. And what does He do? He raises up who? Moses. Unlikely sort of fella. He raises up Moses, and who's rejected by His people. And after he's rejected and he's given up all hope, God says, no, you go back and do what I've called you to do. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. I'm going to send you to set my people free, because I've heard their groan. And He sends Moses to set His people free. And it was Moses who said that the Lord was going to raise up a prophet for everyone like Himself. And we know that's Jesus Christ. So Moses is a type of Jesus. He comes as a deliverer to Israel while they're in bondage and tells them the good news. God set you free. He set you free. And He's going to bring you into all of His promises, the promised land. I mean, man, that's good news, isn't it? You know what it says about the Israelites? They couldn't hear because of that groan. They couldn't hear because they were crushed. They were a crushed people. Their spirits were crushed and they couldn't hear the good news. They heard it, but they didn't hear it. They heard it, but they didn't hear it. And so God says, right. So Moses comes back to God and says, well, nothing's happened. In fact, it's got worse. You know, I went to Pharaoh and told him, I'm the man of faith and power. God's anointed me. You let my people go. Devil, you loose my family. Devil, you loose my finances. Devil, you do this, you do that. We have authority in Jesus. And Moses went out and did it. And you know what Pharaoh did? Pharaoh said, they've also got too much time on their hands. This is what we're going to do. Give them more work. Give them more work. They had to make all the bricks. We used to give them all the straw to make the bricks. They've got to go and get their own straw now. Well, you know what straw represents in the Bible? The things of this world. Wood, hay, stubble, straw. All burns up. And so it's a trick of the enemy to even to get God's people to focus on straw. You've got to get your own straw now when the Bible says he's my provider. He's my provider. Be anxious for nothing. Why worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear? Jesus said, even the sparrows God takes care of. And the lilies of the field, he clothes them more lavishly than Solomon was clothed. Why do you worry about those things? He's our provider. And so this oppression of the world, the devil's tactics, comes on God's people who's supposed to be set free. And we start groaning. We start groaning, coming before God with a groan when I'll tell you what he's done for us. In Exodus 15, we know that Moses comes and delivers the word of the Lord to Israel and to Pharaoh. And then God starts executing that word with incredible judgments that are poured out on all the land of Egypt. You see judgments coming on the world? Lots of judgments. We reap what we sow, don't we? The world's going to reap what it sows. And so then the last one, of course, is where he tells the people of Israel to get a lamb without spot, without blemish, sacrifice the lamb, get the blood, put it on the doorposts and lintels of their what? Of their houses. On the doorposts and lintels of their houses, he puts the blood of the lamb. And you know what happens? The destroying angel comes at midnight and kills all the firstborn in the land of Egypt except where the Israelites had the blood over their doorposts. He couldn't enter in there, couldn't touch their firstborn. And so he delivers them mightily. They then come to the Red Sea. Pharaoh changes his mind again. He says, I'm going to wipe them all out now. He's pretty upset. And so he gets after them with all of his army to destroy them. You've had times out with the enemy's going to try to destroy you. You know that Jesus has set you free. And the enemy sends out, you know, his best to try and destroy us. And we get all fearful. We get all worried about it. And they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, it seems. The Red Sea's in front of them. They can't go that way. And the Egyptians behind them, the enemies behind them. And God miraculously parts the waters. You know, it says that they were baptized when they went through in the Red Sea. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 that they were baptized into Moses in the sea and in the cloud. They were baptized into Moses. Well, we're baptized into Christ, aren't we? When we're baptized, God sets us free. He claims us as his own and he deals with all the enemy. So there's this mighty, they walk through the waters that are parted on either side. They get through onto the other side. And then the Egyptians and the whole army starts coming through the path as well. And then God causes the waters to go back. It wipes out all of their enemy. Now we're going to read their response. After that happens, you're probably standing there thinking, what's going on? Oh, I'm in Genesis, no wonder I can't find it. Exodus 15. So they see this great deliverance. They realize they've been set free, that all of their enemies are destroyed. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord. They sang a song saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. Now, this is incredibly important. The Lord is our strength and he is our song. And he has, listen to it, continue on, and he has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. Who's got the old King James here in that verse? Anybody got that? Do you want to read that out nice and loud, Trudy? No? Well, I'm going to bring the mic over so you don't have to read it. Oh, you're
going to
point it at me?
Yeah, no, you can read it.
I need glasses.
So yes, do you. I.
Oh, your Bible's even finer print than mine. Thank you, David. Let there be light. Here we go. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. I will prepare him a habitation. I will prepare him a habitation. Are you preparing a habitation in your life? You're the house of God. I'm the house of God. You are the house of God. We are the house of God. What kind of a habitation are you preparing for? Is there a groan in you? You need to get rid of that groan. It's the truth that sets you free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's truth that sets us free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Continue in it. I love this. They sang a song. He is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Listen, as the Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Isn't it interesting? After this praising, there's this declaration that the Lord is a man of war. He's not the God of war, he's the God of peace, but he is a man of war. And he stood up to fight for every one of us, and he fought the battle, and he won the victory, and he gave the victory to every single one of us. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. What's our faith based on? It's based on what he has done for us. He has done it. He has done it. So the proper response from every one of us is to sing to the Lord a song, for he has triumphed gloriously. You know, when I read, and everyone is, when you read through the story of what happened with Israel, is they sing this song, how quickly that song is taken out of their heart and out of their mouth. How quickly the enemy came along to divert them. Oh, there's not enough food in this wilderness. There's not enough water in this wilderness. Where are we ever going to get? We're going to die in this wilderness. You know what they started to say? We're going to die in this wilderness. And yet the wilderness became a place where they saw the miraculous hand of God providing for them. He speaks to a rock and water comes out. He provides food, manna. They eat angels' food. And the same for everyone. God is our provider. He's spoken and provided. But I read and I realize how quickly that song is taken out of their mouth. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. You know what the scripture says? So here they are. They've learnt, you know, there to praise God. And in fact, I'll read a little bit more in Exodus 15. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And just goes on how he destroys the enemy in the sea. Verse 6, your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand has dashed the enemy in pieces. Has he defeated our enemy? Oh, you sound sort of convinced. He's defeated all of our foes. You've overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters was gathered together. The floods stood up like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue and overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness? Now listen to this, fearful in praises. You know that word praises, there's the word tehillah. I think I spoke about tehillah. It's the high praises of God. The Bible says, let the high praises of God be in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand to execute the vengeance that is written upon the enemy. This is Psalm 149. This honor hath all the saints. How many saints are here? You have the honor to declare the praises of God. He put a song in your mouth. Psalm 40 says he brought you and me out of the miry clay. He lifted us up and put our feet on a what? On a rock. He put a song in our mouth, a song of praise. Many will see it. Well, I hope they're going to see it. And they will turn to the Lord. They will fear the Lord. You know, God's house is glorious. It is mighty. It's a house that's filled with his presence. It's full of the atmosphere of God. God, if God be for us, who can be against us? He is mighty. He's the Lord our God in the midst of us, and he is mighty. Awesome he is. Glorious. And so he's fearful in praises, doing wonders. And it's the praises that he has put in our mouth that God's wanting to see. Because when we, you see, God said that, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Who ever thought of praise being a weapon? What's it? It says in Psalm 8 that God has, well, let's read it. Psalm 8, I've got to, God, just got to quote it right. God. Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. I know that's praise. It quotes in Matthew, you know, when Jesus has come into Jerusalem and all the children are crying out, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And you know what the Pharisees said? Stop them saying that. And you know, he said, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise. You have. Think about babes and sucklings. Aren't they the most dependent? Aren't they? How many of you are dependent on God? I don't want to be strong in myself. Because my strength, your strength is going to fail. But there's a strength that comes from God that is supernatural, The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are strongholds over families. There are strongholds even in your own life. You know, the Bible defines strongholds. Strongholds are every thought and imagination, and it's in our thinking that's exalted above the knowledge of God. What does the knowledge of God say? He has set the captives free. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. How many are struggling with lack of provision in your life? And the enemy has sown an imagination, a vain thought, a proud thought that would dare exalt itself against the knowledge of God, Him being our provider. You know, back to those children, they're the most dependent. And sometimes we get in this area of confusion when it becomes about, well, I'm a great provider, I can do all these things, and we look to our own strength and our own ability, and yes, we do have to do things, but always keep in mind that whatever gift, whatever strength you have, where did it come from? It's God that gave you your talent, your ability, whatever you may have, and so give glory to God for it. And recognize that you are totally dependent upon Him, just the same as every single person is. And He wants us to begin to acknowledge that, to praise Him for it. And so out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. You need to silence the voice of the accuser. Silence the voice of the enemy who's always saying, no, God won't do that. No, He can't do that. He hasn't done that. He's a liar. God is true. God is true. And when we start to praise God, you know what I believe happens? When we start to praise God, we actually start clearing the air. Now, sometimes I like to do that. Ever been in such a... I remember Hal Oxley, always, because he was a military man, he was involved in the Second World War, and as a pastor, he used to teach us a lot from that aspect. But he talked about saying one time about the fog of war and how important it was for the, particularly for the soldiers to be able to hear their commanding officer. There was one voice that they wanted to hear, but he said, in the fog of war, fog, you can't see things very clearly. He said, there's noise, there's distractions, everything's happening, obviously. And he said, they need to hear their commander. And he said, in the fog of war, it's very easy to lose your objective, to lose focus, because you can't see anymore. And that's when you particularly need to hear your commanding officer's voice so that the whole unit can be in unity in how they're fighting. And I remember, you know, there are times in my life when it seems that I'm overwhelmed and it seems that the opposite to, I can't see. And I said, God, where is your provision? God, where are you? And what I've learned to do is at those times, I need to start praising God. I need to start using that weapon that God has given me. Out of my mouth, you know, He has ordained strength. I acknowledge my dependence on Him, but I acknowledge that He has made a way where there was no way. He is my provider. He will not fail. He does not change. Every promise He has made is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And that's where I am. And so I start to praise God. I'm in Christ. He loves me with an everlasting. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. And His praise will continually be in my mouth. The scripture says, my glory, that's your mouth, and the lifter of my head. And we've had those times. You need to start praising God because you are His house. And I'm not going to give the devil satisfaction and start groaning because God is not a man that he should lie. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to bless Him all the time. Psalm 118. If we can turn there. Psalm 118. So I'm not saying you're not going to go through battles, but I'm going to tell you this is a victory. I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. I will not fear. What can man do to me? All right, he's faced his fear here and recognize that there's someone with him. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Could it be that God's allowed this, you know, fear of man for him to confront it, to make sure that his trust is in the Lord and not confident in man? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now listen to this. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Yes, they surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. Ever been attacked by a swarm of bees? I've had that. I'm chucking rocks at a hive. Not a good idea. Got surrounded by bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall. How many of you feel that you're being pushed violently by the devil? He's trying to make you fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song. Those two words, the Lord, that's in Exodus 15, we read it. Moses said it, you're my strength and my song. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. See an outworking? That when we start to praise the Lord rises up on our behalf because we are his temple. A law goes forth, a law of liberty goes forth, a law of Christ comes forth as we begin to praise him. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. You know, the whole purpose of God when he brought Israel out and he brought them through the wilderness, he wanted them to prepare a habitation for him. Moses knew, I will prepare him a habitation. And it wasn't until many years later that King David comes along. You know that the desire of King David's heart was to build God a house. He's sitting in his throne one day and he says, here I am, I've got a house of cedar. I've got this great place and God's still in a tent. And he says, oh, I'm going to build him a house. And it has to be glorious. You know, it says about King David, he prepared with all of his... He was told, you can't build it. It was prophesied that Jesus, out of his body, his son, who we know from the lineage is Jesus Christ, he said, he will build me a house. What did Jesus say? I will build my house, my church, and the gates of hell are not going to be able to withstand it. The gates of hell are not going to be withstanding it. So that mentality of being a captive, there's a term for it. Victim. You ever heard that term, victim mentality? That's what Israel got. They were set free, but then they developed this victim mentality. We're going to die in this wilderness. We're going to lose our kids. We're going to fail. We're going to this. And God says, I'll give you what you speak. I'll give you what you're saying. Because they rejected him in saying that. They rejected his promise. They made a decision, God, we don't trust you. This is what's going to happen. Therefore, we've got to do this. They rejected God. In fact, God wants us to trust him and to praise him. Praise him. Start to praise him. You know, if you're in trouble, start to praise him. Are you going to feel like it? Of course you're not. Of course you're not. When things are going wrong, of course you're not going to feel like it. But there's a spirit within you. There's a spirit within you. And you can start to praise God. Sometimes it's got to be a decision. You first of all got to make a decision. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise him. I will give him honor, give him glory. Think about Habakkuk. You know, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, there be no fruit on the vine. The produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. Though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. Where's that coming from? It's a supernatural thing. Supernatural. Let God arise. How? He's going to arise in this house, in you and me, not only individually but corporately. Get rid of the groan. Get rid of the groan. Get rid of it. It's all right, you know, to be in that place, but God's given the answer. How lovely, Isaiah 52, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, announcing peace, declaring news of happiness. That's got to make people happy, right? Declaring, saying to Zion, our God reigns. We sang part of it. Our God reigns. Our God is in control. Our God is on the throne. No one can come against him. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, so you can see, you know, the mountain of the Lord's house being lifted up above every other house, every other mountain, lifted up, and deliverers coming. That's you and me. We're the ones. How lovely on the mountains the feet. Our feet. Our feet. We've got, what do we have our feet shod with? The gospel of peace. God loves us. We declare that to everyone we come across. Not with a groan, but with a joy. We enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. I just want to finish on Psalm 100. Psalm 100. So you decide I will, then just do it. Just do it. Sometimes you've got to wake up. Listen to this. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Sometimes you've got to shout. Have you ever done that in a car? I've gone out bush, started shouting. I remember doing it and somebody came in on me. That was kind of embarrassing, but I was having a great time with the Lord. Start shouting. Start shout. Shout the victory. Shout the victory. Sing. Shout. Don't let him take that song out of your heart. Serve the Lord with gladness, not dragging your feet. Don't drag your feet. If you're going to serve the Lord, serve him with gladness because he has abundantly blessed us. Know that the Lord, come before his presence with singing. That's probably half the reason we don't feel his presence, because we come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Praise God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That word there is tehillah. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Put on strength. Put on those beautiful garments. Praise the Lord at all times because he is for you, he is with you, and he is for you. Hallelujah. Can we all stand up, please? Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. This is going to close in prayer. And if anybody would like prayer, like to pray for you, make some time available here to minister to people. we'll do that now. Otherwise, you're free to go and tea and coffee, and we'll join with you in a little while. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you that you've made us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Lord, you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you. We acknowledge you in our lives. We acknowledge you in every area of our life, in all of our ways. We acknowledge you. And I thank you that you will direct our path. Lord, that our minds will be clear, our hearts will be clear, filled with your praise, filled with thanksgiving. Lord, acknowledging that, Lord, what you have begun, you will continue, you will complete. Lord, that you are not a man that you should lie, neither son of man that you should repent. Having said, and shall you not do it? Having spoken, shall you not make it good? You have given a commandment to bless. I thank you for your blessing over every family in this church, over every man, over every woman, over every boy and girl. You've given a commandment to bless. And we praise you, we bless you. Thank you, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your people. You are enthroned in those praises. Lord, you have made each one of us a priest and a king. Lord, a king with authority and a priest to minister to you. Lord, we will continually be praising and thanking you all day, every day, at all times and in all circumstances and situations. We're going to bring glory to you, Lord. So this whole world, Lord, this whole earth is going to be filled with your glory. We're believing to see your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for a great boldness coming into our hearts and into our lives, Lord, as we give you praise and as we give you thanks, Lord. Thank you for new strength that you give freely, and you're going to teach our mouths what to say. Lord, I pray all this in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory and all the praise for it. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.